America, and all of our listeners all over the world. You're listening to yet another exciting edition of Let's Weekend. I'm your host with the most, Brandon Perkins. Joining me as always is Filippo D'Anolfo, Patrick Mifflin, Teresa Sammons, and Chris Logi. Say hi, guys.
Hello.
Hey.
I'm alive, yeah. I promise.
Hello. Yeah. Hey, everybody. So we're not quite as drugged up as we were last week. All the drugs went to Patrick.
Yes, they did. The reason I've been gone is because I've had what was described as spectacular bronchitis.
Dang, that's not good when they start breaking those words out.
It caused me to miss 6 days of work.
Shit.
And not looking forward to this paycheck. But I'm alive. I am well medicated. I may go under during the show because I did take a Mucinex, 2 amoxicillin, and 2 benzos before we started recording. So maybe I'll still be conscious for the entire time, but please understand if I'm not.
Yeah, fair enough.
But I'm here.
All right.
And I'm still congested.
Yeah. All right. All right, so for this week, the end of Trump's impeachment finally happened, and it came to the conclusion we all knew was coming.
Mm-hmm.
But it wasn't all bad, and we'll tell you why. One of the people that Trump was actually thinking to challenge Trump for the GOP presidential nomination has dropped out. And we'll tell you why. And honestly, I'm kind of surprised he didn't realize this until now. Also, the Iowa caucus happened this weekend. Holy shit, was it a shit show.
Holy crap, right?
Isn't oh, yeah.
Mm-hmm. We'll get to that.
Oh, yeah. And then some.
And, it also ended up showing something. It basically showed, we'll tell you. We'll tell you. We don't want to get it all out in the open first at the beginning like this. And the coronavirus is still wreaking havoc. And holy shit, it is fucking people.
It's a mess.
Yeah. I think it was last week Teresa compared it to the Spanish flu. And it's getting there. Mm. Also, Gritty is cleared of all charges. We'll tell you what charges. Because, honestly, I'm kind of surprised that he wasn't in jail already.
No, this is the most Philadelphia thing that ever happened.
Yeah. For the first time, a Philadelphia sports figure was cleared of criminal charges. of course, we got some entertainment stuff, including some new trailers, and we got some Hamilton news as well. It's some good one, too. So all that and more on this week's edition of Let's Weekend. So, as always, we must always start from the beginning, and as we always do, Phil, what have you been up to this week?
So I've been playing some stuff. I'm going to talk more about some of the other stuff I've been playing on Sunday. But for now, one of the games I've been playing is Code Shifter. It's an action platformer developed by Arc.
Yep.
And it is fucking
exactly
insane.
What you would expect.
Yeah. Really cool stuff. You got like a whole bunch of Arc System Works characters just mashed together. You got pixel art. You got... It's basically you're in a game development studio, which I'm assuming is probably Arc, Shit starts going wrong, and apparently a hacker has been messing up stuff and causing people to lose their work or just straight up putting assets where they're not supposed to go. One of the main programmers of the game that they're working on, her name is Stella. She decides to take on this project of just writing her own, real-time debugger.
Mm-hmm.
And that takes the form of an avatar called Sarah, which goes into the game and starts wrecking shit. And she can transform into various characters, and you get you can also get assist characters, and yeah, the characters are really the meat and potatoes of this game because there are 100 of them.
Yeah,
yeah, 30 playable and 70 assist characters,
And lots of cameos from other companies.
Yes.
Oh yeah,
a crush shit ton.
I shouldn't say other companies because. Arc System Works owns TradeWest now, so...
Yeah. Yeah, so basically, like, you know, the Double Dragon, the Kunioko yeah. stuff is all in there.
I keep forgetting their Arc now.
Yeah, they're just all there. Oh, and there's a Smash Brothers-style platform fighter in there, just because.
Mm-hmm.
So...
Well, I mean, you've already got the foundation for one.
Yeah. So it's basically like two games in one. You got like a platformer, kind of like the adventure mode of Smash. And then you got the game that's essentially Smash. And it's, so far, really damn fun. So yeah, I'm going to be putting some more time into it. But so far, very, very much enjoying it. So I've been playing that. And then I've been watching Picard, which, this episode was good. And also, way too fucking short.
Oh, no. I can't believe we missed it last night. But we did.
Okay, so I won't say anything. But, yeah, it was good. I'm just kind of wondering, like, where this show is going to go. Because it's so, like... I don't know if you've noticed this, Teresa, but it's, like, all over the freaking place.
It really is. And, I've been watching the stuff with Will Wheaton afterwards, and it kind of seems like it might be intentional because it's the whole what people feel and think and do when they're approaching end of life.
Yeah.
So yeah, maybe this is. Yeah. A thing.
Yeah, it just seems like a very chaotic way of storytelling, and I don't know if that's really gelling with me yet. But I mean, I'm three episodes in. I don't intend to stop watching it, especially after the end of that third one. So yeah. So that's kind of been it for me. How about you, Pat?
In addition to recuperating, I've been doing as much stuff as I possibly can with my hockey project, on YouTube and. Discord. And that's been going remarkably well. I'm really happy with how it's been developing, and pretty soon here I'm going to be starting on my second video project, which I'm calling Franchise Rehab, where I just pick a historically bad team from either now or some earlier time in NHL history and try to manage them out of their hole faster than their actual GM can do it or did. So that's going to be interesting. There are some pretty bad teams that I can draw from for this.
Wow.
And it'll be a really nice thought exercise. I'm not going to be using NHL 20 for this one. I'm going to be using Franchise Hockey Manager 6. But the premise is going to be the same. It's just... do I have the GM chops, the front office chops to fix this situation? And we'll see.
Cool. All
right.
But that's something I'm going to be exploring in the coming weeks, and I'll definitely be talking about it more as we get closer to it. So that's been my week. I've mostly been bedridden. So. Yeah.
All right, Teresa, what about you?
I have not been watching Picard, but we have been catching up still on Doctor Who. We're not quite current yet. I was playing Stardew Valley because we couldn't figure out what to do with our problem with our kitchen last week. So we just turned on our respective devices and sat in front of them instead of doing anything, which is better than making rash decisions and doing the wrong thing. So, yay, video games.
Yeah.
but I've been playing Kingdom Two Crowns again. I think really that's about it. It's, you know, still working. I've got 3 more weeks on my contract, and then I'm ready for 5. Animal Crossing. Yes, that and Animal Crossing. Yeah, that's right. I need to log into Final Fantasy and make sure that they haven't kicked me out of my apartment yet.
I need to do that too.
Yeah, because we're going to lose our furniture if we, you know, if we get kicked out. It's kind of a thing.
And I'm pretty invested in mine, so I don't know about you.
I'm halfway there. I was invested before more in a different place. And, yeah, I lost a lot there. So I've been kind of a little gun shy.
That's understandable.
Yeah, but this is my own apartment. I'm not sharing it with anybody. So that's the way to go, right?
That helps, yeah.
Indeed. Indeed.
There's something to be said for free company housing, but really,
it's true.
You get everything you really need out of it for free.
Yeah. Yeah. But it's nice having our own place and our own decorations and all that jazz.
Yes, it is.
Yeah. That's Susie. About it, man. It's been a boring, long-ass week.
All right, Chris, what about you?
So I went and saw Birds of Prey earlier today.
Which is actually just the Harley Quinn movie with Birds of Prey kind of tacked in on it.
Yeah, they kind of set that up at the end of the three of them kind of going off on their own. But yeah, it's a really well-done movie. Kind of sets up some cool stuff for the future of Harley Quinn, since she doesn't necessarily have to be with Mr. J for the future.
Yeah.
Which is nice, because they don't seem to be knowing what they're going to do with the Joker anytime soon. And the movie itself is it's a lot of fun. It's a really well-done action movie with Harley Quinn, Black Canary, Renee Montoya, and Huntress just kicking the shit out of a lot of dudes. And they definitely take advantage of their R rating with lots of bone breaking and big hits. That is a lot of fun and some really kind of cool ways of using some of the elements of Harley Quinn that they set up in this movie into those action sequences, which works out pretty well. So definitely recommend it. And just seems like DC's on an interesting streak here.
Mm-hmm.
Of at least
of
good movies
sucking.
And stuff that's doing interesting things that are kind of different from each other. Not so much the way that it's like a lot of Marvel's movies are kind of similar in what they're doing, which isn't a huge surprise. There's a couple that are a bit different with like Captain Marvel and Black Panther.
Mm-hmm.
They kind of do some different things, but yeah, this one, Joker, I forget what the other ones I've seen are, but yeah, like those two definitely set some interesting paths for the franchise, for DC stuff going forward. But yeah, there is one bad part where they decide to use a slowed down cover of a Pat Benatar song.
Mm-hmm.
The soundtrack overall is really good. That was like the one down note. I was like, really? You got to use a slow song, a slow cover of Pat Benatar for this scene?
Mm-hmm.
But for the most part, they do some really good work with music there. But yeah, been continuing to watch King of the Hill in season 2. I think one of the ones I just finished is the one where Hank's credit is bad and finds out it's because of a supposed overdue rental of a porn movie at the video store, which is just a really good, really good episode. This show is just really one of the more underrated animated shows out there.
Yeah.
People write it off as like a redneck show and all that. It's like, it's not that at all.
No.
Well, Mike Judge leveled up so hard while he was doing King of the Hill. Then he comes back and brings back Beavis and Butthead, and it's almost like it's too clever for its own good.
Yeah.
I'm not hating on the ninth season of Beavis and Butthead because I fucking loved it, but it definitely showed that just how far Mike Judge had come since he was doing Beavis and Butthead before.
Yeah, and it's a lot of fun just watching this, and especially when you can hear some of the side characters, like, oh, that's the woman that voices Bobby Hill.
Mm-hmm.
Like, she's just doing this old woman that just sounds like a slightly older Bobby voice kind of stuff. But, yeah, there's just a lot of fun stuff, especially watching this show that's from, like, the mid to late 90s.
Mm-hmm.
Them doing the episode where they go to a condo in Mexico and end up getting into some legal shit and have to cross over the border fence to get back into the country.
Yeah.
And some of the ways that they approach that stuff is pretty fun, but also kind of indicative of like how much sentiment around that stuff has changed since in those past like 20 years.
Yeah.
Especially when it's Hank Hill talking about, you know, we don't have room for these millions of people, so we put up a fence kind of thing.
Mm-hmm.
And not so much in like the racist way that it is now, whereas it was just kind of that was a Republican thing, more just like not, I don't know, not being against Mexicans coming there, but just against having people breaking the law. He's very much a law guy. Especially
but the thing is to remember about Hank Hill is he's also a lot smarter than he initially lets on.
Yeah.
And he's a bit more willing to understand when he goes wrong. And
he's book smart. He's not necessarily street smart.
Yeah.
Which ends up in some really fun scenarios. Like when he is looking for new fish bait and ends up buying crack.
Yep.
Yeah.
To fish.
Love that episode.
Yeah.
Yeah. There's that. There's the whole episode with, where he gets sent back to driving school.
Mm-hmm.
And picks the comedian that's played by Chris Rock.
Yeah.
Who is just constantly talking shit about him. in a lot of fun ways. And Bobby ends up doing a set at the local stand-up place. And
mm-hmm.
he ends up doing his research on white history on a KKK site, basically.
Whoops. Oh, dude. No.
Because the comedian tells him, like, oh, you need to do more about your white roots. So, of course, he Googles white roots, or not Googles, but searches on the internet for that.
Yeah. Don't think Google existed then.
No, it would have been Yahoo or
Yahoo, AOL, Vista. Yeah.
AOL search, that kind of thing.
Mm-hmm.
AOL search. That was a black hole.
Yeah. Yeah, it's a lot of fun with even just seeing like what sort of stuff would be in pop culture at the time,
mm-hmm.
Especially for a show centered around Texas.
Right.
But yeah, that'll be fun to kind of keep watching that. And I mentioned last week, instead of watching the State of the Union, I was going to watch Dragon Ball GT. And so I followed up on that.
Oh, yeah.
I watched about seven episodes of it.
Well, no, between that and the State of the Union, he's probably right.
Yeah.
Like I said, I'm going to watch something terrible tonight. I'm going to pick the lesser of two evils and watch Dragon Ball GT. So I watched about seven episodes, which is about 10% of the series. Mm. And yeah, there's a lot of stupid stuff about this. First off, like the Black Star balls, just having some arbitrary different set of balls that nobody knew about. Not even Popo somehow.
Mm-hmm.
That when used, you have to recover them within a year or else the planet they're used on is destroyed. And they're not scattered around the planet they're used on, they're scattered across the galaxy.
Well, that's an arbitrary fucking rule right there.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
High stakes.
Yeah, to which they end up sending... So Goku gets turned into a kid because Pilaf can't recite any sort of normal wish. Then the whole way the dragon comes out and Goku like has no idea what's going on. He's wandering around like, what's this over here? And somehow Goku is like somehow really smart at this point because he remembers Pilaf, even though he hasn't seen him in, you know, like 20, 30 years, whatever. It is at this point. Whereas pretty much any other time he's introduced to somebody he hasn't seen since he was a kid, he doesn't remember them at all. And yeah, so uses it to turn him into a kid. Then they have to figure out how to get Bulma to make them a ship to go out into space. Wacky hijinks ensues. They're missing some supposedly vital piece. Causes them to land on a planet where they're just a bunch of grifters all over the place. And their ship gets stolen as they try to come back from the city they're at, to which they're like towing it away. So Goku's like, oh, I'll just use instant transmission. And apparently it doesn't work because he's a kid. So they just start flying, which he never used as a kid. And also, why didn't they just fly? Like, they can, they act like this is a, or no, they walk. They walk the path. Mm-hmm. It's like, why aren't you flying? You can easily do this. They do this later in the episode, once they get to the palace that it's at. And then he goes Super Saiyan later on. It's like, you just broke your own rules in the same course of a couple episodes here of Goku can't do things he didn't do as a kid, but he goes Super Saiyan.
Why not?
Yeah, and they get a couple of them. It's a lot of stuff like it. They seem like they're trying to do Dragon Ball, of like going to these weird places and going into these weird scenarios where he helps out some oppressed village or people or whatever, that kind of thing. And then I got to this guy that is like weird beast that's hovering over this village that can wiggle his whiskers to cause earthquakes somehow. And their grand plan is to cut the whiskers off, I guess. I don't know. But it's like, a lot of this stupid shit. But also, with that vital piece on the ship missing, somehow they are still able to fly around just fine. They just don't address it at all anymore after Bulma finds out what the issue was, what the piece was missing. And yeah, somehow Trunks is the head of Capsule Corp instead of Bulma. You would think.
Yeah, that doesn't make any damn sense.
It's like, here's the woman that invents half the shit that Capsule Corp does.
Yeah.
Including a spaceship. And it's like, okay, why is Trunks the one that is doing it, especially when he doesn't want to do it? Is it some sort of weird commentary on sexism? Of like, oh, they have to have the man leading it, and not a woman? I don't know. But yeah, it's okay at best. And there's just lots of weird, just poor writing and just weird art style stuff.
Mm-hmm.
But they just couldn't. The things they come up with is like alien races and such just doesn't really look all that interesting for the most part. But yeah, it's okay. I might keep watching it. I don't know. But yeah, that was interesting to jump into. And their theme song was very much like, hey, we need to do another like Rock the Dragon kind of song. Which is hilarious, especially now that everybody's just disowned that as a canonical theme song for the show, for Dragon Ball Z. So that's kind of the one thing. And also just weird character stuff, like Vegeta having a mustache and...
Yeah.
specifically, like, spiky hair instead of, like, his normal, like, troll-looking hair. It's just like, okay, well, lore-wise, Saiyans can't grow hair. They just keep the same hairstyle. Even though Nappa breaks that logic, because he somehow had hair at a younger age. So I don't know if there's like an age thing to it, but at the very least, that hasn't been long enough that age would be a factor in any of this, but that doesn't factor into facial hair anyway. But yeah, there's just weird stuff about that show that I'm glad that they kind of made it non-canonical and just went to Super.
Yeah.
And found better ways to integrate other races and such and find more interesting avenues for aliens that have interesting abilities and such in their own universe and other universes. that is a better way of like escalating the power curve versus just this whole weird, like, we want to mash Dragon Ball Z and Dragon Ball and put it in space stuff instead of just going into weird villages around the world kind of thing. But yeah, that show's okay. But also been doing some streaming this week. On Sunday before the Super Bowl, I played some Doom 2016, which is still a lot of fun.
Oh, yeah.
Then I beat the one level I was on. Is the level where you are basically destroying the hell energy that they're using to power all this stuff.
Yep.
Which the Doom Rain doesn't have any interest in being nice to the equipment. He just destroys it.
Nope, he just straight up stomps it out.
Yeah, and like the bad guy's like, don't do this. If you do this, we'll be starting from scratch. He's like, who cares? Just destroys it. The whole thing with the tower. It was like, oh, it's limitless, unlimited hell energy. It's like, oh yeah, that's safe and efficient. Then after that, I played some of the, or one of the things that was in the snap map stuff, which they essentially had a like brawler style map. That was one of the recommended ones. Though as far as a brawler was concerned, it was, I think, two of the shotguns that you had. One was kick. The other one was punch. And you were kind of going around this like tight kind of alleyway level. It would just lock you off at a certain point. Like here, start spawning in enemies for you to beat up. And occasionally have some side areas with special events. I went to like a weird disco to kill people, kill demons. And then this like weird boss room and all this kind of stuff. It was pretty cool. Yeah, they had different difficulties that affected how much points you got or how you respond. Like the base one they gave you that was the default, just kind of respond you whenever, no limit on lives, all that kind of stuff. But it kind of halved your score when you died, so definitely had to pay attention. But the higher difficulties you could play with, not very kind to you. Yeah, no stream on Tuesday due to schedule stuff. But I streamed on Thursday for a birthday stream and played Dog Child, which is a terrible game on the PS4. I wanted to kind of show that off because it is a bad game that's I'm pretty sure very few people know about. And played, I think, about like 80% of it. Decided I was going to come back to play it again. I'm going to start streaming on Tuesdays. Going to be calling this this new thing Terrible Tuesdays. Going to play some terrible games. And so I'm going to finish that. And that game's still very bad. But apparently they put an update out to actually make it a little bit better. But I looked up the Metacritic score, and it was at 71. I was like, this does not track with the game that I played.
Yeah, there are some shenanigans happening there.
Well, then it's 4 reviews, so it's not – it's like a 75 and like 370s. I'm like, I don't know if your tolerance for bullshit is way higher than mine, but this game is full of bullshit.
Yeah.
And there's some areas where – I got, so your main like action is you're throwing this like rubber ball that you normally use to throw to the dog. You're throwing it at dudes and knocking them out. And it's really hard to line that stuff up at launch. They apparently added like a lock on, not really like an actual lock on, but in a, you could, while you're aiming it, hit, I think, X to lock in the aim at a certain enemy and sort of move it. Aim it at like another nearby enemy to like lock in the rebound, that kind of thing, which makes it slightly better. But you still have to deal with a lot of bullshit, especially when you they roll in enemies that can just dodge by default, and you have to wait for the dog to like parkour off of them to stun them for a second so you can hit them. And then you get to some boss fights that are just fucking awful. They have a your typical like bad guy. big guy that rushes you, and you have to lure him into running into a wall that stuns him for a few seconds. But you have to aim at his tiny head, which is not easy unless you are like running alongside him, watch him run into the wall, and then you are able to get like a side shot at his head. But a lot of times it's a lot of bullshit. So I'm getting to some of the story stuff that is going to be really fun and terrible, because you have been in this previous level freeing wolves that were being gassed into being evil, I guess.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know. It's like an ecological kind of story. Mm-hmm. Somebody's like harming animals and you're helping them out. And it's real stupid. There's a reason why the game came out almost just over 4 years ago, and it's never had a sale, never had any sort of promotion since then, as far as I've seen. And yeah, there's just a lot of bad platforming. There's this whole bit where I was trying to start climbing down this mountain and trying to make this jump that was impossible. And I'm pretty sure I made it when I played it originally. But then I figured out, oh, they want me to like climb down, hang on the ledge, and crawl over to this other spot. I was like, I'm pretty sure I never did this originally. Somehow I glitched it into getting across. And so once I figured that out, then you have to get down these blocks. It looks like you have to – so to get down, you partially have to do like this quick time event of hitting X as he's like jumping down these pillars. It seems like you got to do that again, but it never triggers because you have to go back and control the dog and bring him down the same way. The only thing is he doesn't crawl on the ledge to get to the other side to jump across. You have to knock down this tree. It never hints at you that this is a thing you should do because you haven't had to do it in any of the previous levels. It's like some of the stuff where it doesn't clue you into what you need to do. It's just a lot of weirdness. And so once you did this and got the dog across, then the QTE event to get all the way to the bottom. Meanwhile, I would jump. I would find ways of actually getting down and die because you can't drop like more than 5 feet. For this guy that's supposedly an expert at parkour. Yeah, it's a lot of dumb bullshit, but there's some really good, terrible cutscenes to it. And somehow you're able to talk to wolves and shit. But also I think your character is deaf because he uses sign languages to the dog in the opening cutscene. It's real weird. But it's a very terrible game, but I'm not streaming these games to be like, haha, look at these terrible devs did. It's like, no, these games are bad. I want to show them off so people kind of know these exist and kind of see what's interesting and what doesn't work about them.
You're playing them so they don't have to.
Yeah.
And being educational about terrible games that people don't know about. Because I'm not going to be like, oh, I'm going to stream Metal Gear Solid 5 because it's terrible. Ha ha. It's like, no. We're going to play like actual terrible shit because with all the various services and Steam games and games I own on the consoles, there's plenty of bad shit in there. Oftentimes stuff that I've gotten on super cheap. It's like, well, this is probably terrible, but it's only a dollar. I'll take that. And I'll find some way of making use of it later on. That kind of thing. So yeah. Yeah, it's one of the things I definitely want to be doing. And
Then.
For tomorrow, we're going to stream Phantasy Star Online 2, the beta. Because that is out now, and I figured out yesterday, after a lot of research, that they are not blocking streaming or anything like that for this closed beta.
Isn't it only a 24-hour beta, though?
It's for the whole weekend, I think.
I want to double-check on that.
Yeah, but I was pretty sure of that. But yeah, the FAQ I saw was basically saying, like, it goes on, let's see, they're saying it's a question about screenshots and clips, but they're only talking about through the Xbox system, not overall. But yeah, seems like it ends at 3 a.m. on Saturday or Sunday. So yeah, it'll be for a while. So yeah, we'll be able to stream that pretty easily. It seems like they're doing a lot of like special events, and if you do them, you'll get bonuses that carry over to the launch. Yeah, it's weird.
Oh, shit, I didn't know that.
Yeah. Yeah, I think they're also going to have some weird concerts in the game, too. There's a music idol in the game, I guess, and if you tune in, you'll get some buffs out of it, where a drop rate increase, a set of drop rate increase, and experience points rate increase. It says, make sure to type Encore during Hyuna's inaugural performance to motivate her into coming back for a second song. Okay. That's how they're going to do the Encore. That's weird, but yeah, I'm curious to check that out.
All right.
I don't doubt that it's going to be good.
Yeah. Yeah, it says Saturday, February 8th, 11:59 p.m. PST.
All right.
And yeah, it seems like it's going to carry over to the full launch. They said you don't have to delete anything, though it's a 68 gig install. So if I'm going to delete anything, I'll probably delete that because it won't be useful for a few months. So.
Mm-hmm.
Well, I thought it was launching later this month.
I don't think they've said anything about a date.
Oh.
Again, until recently, I thought it was Xbox exclusive because they never talked about anything else. People were like, well, it's not exclusive to Xbox. Like, really? That was all I remember about the announcement at E3. I was like, they were paying to get it localized and all that, and we're just going to have
it exclusive. Phil Spencer said he wants it to go everywhere.
Yeah. We'll see how quickly they do it, though. But, yeah. How about you, Brandon?
All right. Well, first and foremost, I've been playing the BioShock collection. So y'all probably know that I got PSN, and that is the free PSN game that you get this month. Well, one of them. So yeah. It's both BioShock 1 and 2, as well as BioShock Infinite, and all of the DLC that comes with them.
Mm-hmm.
And that does, in fact, include Burial at Sea, episodes 1 and 2. It's been a few years since I've played BioShock Infinite, and I forgot how visually overwhelming that game is when you first enter into Columbia. Like, it's just all the bright colors, and there's like a festival going on, and there's like a parade, and there's carnival games and stuff you can do.
And you're rifling through the trash for food.
Yeah.
That kind of stuff.
Yeah, collecting, silver eagles. That's the currency. And God, it is, and then, you get into the raffle, and then it's like, oh, right. That's why this place sucks.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But, I've played and finished BioShock Infinite before, so I already knew how that goes. So, while playing, replaying BioShock Infinite, I decided to play the Burial at Sea DLC, which is something I actually never got a chance to play. So I played and finished the first episode, and, basically, the thing about the Burial at Sea DLCs of BioShock Infinite is it actually takes place in Rapture again, but it's like Rapture during its prime, more or less. There's still, Rapture hasn't completely decayed to the point like it has in, in the original BioShock when you first get there. There's still... stuff's still operating on the surface. Up at above, where Rapture proper is. There's still, people are still living there. Everything's still working. I had forgotten the, pervasive, cult of personality that Andrew Ryan had built around himself in that game. Because he's, fucking everywhere. He's on posters, his books and stuff are everywhere. There's a bunch of shit named after him. In episode 2, there you actually go into the school that they have there. And it is fucking nightmarish. Because they've taken Andrew Ryan, they've turned him into a cuddly cartoon lion. And there's like these little illustrations of him on walls everywhere. And like one of the things that you do is you go over into what's called the Shane Corner, which is like, you know, with the dunce cap and everything. And then you work there, you look at like the chalkboard where like the kid had to write something like 50 times. And he's written, "I will not share my toys," like over and over again. Yeah, it's... oh, yeah, and Sanders Cohen, by this point, has completely fucking lost it. He is basically trying to get people to dance for him so that he can paint them, and then keeps getting basically angry by the fact that they keep not doing well, so he just electrocutes them to death. And nobody's going to fucking stop him. but yeah, so I've been playing that. Oh yeah, fun fact about the Burial at Sea. You play, you know, Booker again in episode one, but in episode two you actually play as Elizabeth, which was really cool. I did not expect that. But yeah, if you're on PSN and you've got a chance, go get it. It is absolutely worth playing all that stuff again.
Yeah, I've actually never played those games, so...
Yeah, and they've aged surprisingly really well, too. Like, there are parts where, you know, obviously the graphics aren't quite as, like, advanced as they are now, but were pretty advanced for back then. But yeah, basically, Pat, do you know, like, what the essential, like, idea behind BioShock is?
In a rather abstract way, yes.
Yeah, basically, it's about a dude who goes down into an underwater city called Rapture that's basically ran by a male XP of Ayn Rand.
Well, yeah, the name was kind of a dead giveaway anyway.
Yeah. But yeah, that's basically that. And BioShock Infinite takes place in a flying city in the clouds that's run by like a hardcore religious fanatic. That basically takes, like, all of the awful shit of the early 20th century and just sort of drags it to its illogical extreme. So, racism, class exploitation.
Patriotism.
They literally worship the Founding Fathers as deities.
All the hits.
Yeah.
You get up there, there's American flags everywhere.
Mm-hmm. It's like, well, it's the Columbia flag, but it's based on the American flag.
And it's like, man, tone it down, guys.
Yeah, no, they don't tone it down. There's like a secret society up there called the Order of the Raven, which is made up of a group of robe and hood wearing individuals who worship John Wilkes Booth.
Jesus.
Can you take a wild guess where their inspiration comes from?
I think that's pretty self-explanatory.
Yeah.
All the subtlety of a sledgehammer to the face.
Yeah, I think that was kind of the point. But yeah, so I've been playing that. Been reading, as usual, some more stuff. Not really much to add to that. And then dealing with this fucking schizo weather that we've been having down here. so it was really freaking cold today.
Like, really freaking cold?
By Georgia standards.
Like, your heat pump is going to say, "Suck it! I'm not working."
Yeah. Like, it's between, like, the 40s and 30s right now. Which I know for, like, people up north, that's, like, nothing.
But
live down here, that's jacket weather.
Right? And houses are built differently there.
Yeah.
The insulation value is different. It's a thing.
Yeah.
It's a thing. And when you're used to hot weather and this shit happens, it chills you.
Yeah, but
bones.
See, here's the thing. Yesterday it was like in the 60s, and the day before that it got up into 70.
Yeah, it's too much back and forth here too, and it's actually started my allergies.
Yeah.
This is February. Mm-hmm. What is this shit?
Fortunately, my allergies have not started up yet, but March is only a few weeks away, and well,
oh, don't say that.
Yeah,
you go too quick.
Mm-hmm. Well, anyway, All right. So that's it. Anybody got anything they want to add before we move on?
No, I'm good.
All right.
Just add that if anyone has ideas for that NHL franchise rehab, my Discord link is in the show notes for a couple weeks ago, and I would love to hear your ideas.
All right. All right. Well, then, it is now time for everybody's favorite part of the show, Brandon's Random Factoid. Insert non-existent sound effect here.
We really got to do something about that.
Yeah. Phil, that's your job for this weekend. As we say for the last few weekends. but yeah, anyway, so Brandon's Random Factoid. So, everybody here is sort of kind of familiar with memes, right?
Yeah.
Just a little bit.
Love memes, kind of detest the culture that surrounds them, but...
Yeah. It may either be great for future generations, or it is the death of human language. We do not know yet. But there's a couple of memes that go around, and you actually don't really know, like, what the actual, like, origins of some of them are. So, and some of them, when you find out what they actually are, like, what the backstory for them is, you find out some of them are weirdly disturbing. So, for example, one meme, and this is just one example. Who here has seen that meme? It's a GIF of, like, a bearded Grizzly Adams-looking dude who's, like, nodding his head and smiling.
Yeah, Kodiak dude.
Slowly doing it on his head. Okay, yeah. Do you know who that is?
Isn't that from that 70s show or a movie about the bear? I think it had Kodiak in the damn name.
It's actually, well, first of all, it's Robert Redford. That's
who really? It
is. Yeah, it's Robert Redford. And the movie is from the early 70s, and it's called Jeremiah Johnson.
Nope.
Yeah. Jeremiah Johnson was a real person. He was also kind of fucked in the head. And I'm going to tell you why. So Jeremiah Johnson was an American mountain man. And if you know anything about us Americans...
we like our guns and our independence?
Well, yeah, that. But you also know the weird sort of cults of personalities we have around mountain men.
Especially sort of, around here.
Yeah, if you're thinking of like, if you're thinking of like Davy Crockett, for example... of course, in reality, Davy Crockett in real life was kind of a badass. Guys like, you know, or David Bowie, not David Bowie.
Oh, he was kind of a badass, too.
I mean, he was, but in a different way. Like Jim Bowie, you know, the man who lent his namesake to the Bowie knife.
Yep.
You know, gentlemen like that. These guys who were like... They become famous, you know, Daniel Boone. That's another good example. Basically, these dudes who were famous for basically leaving quote-unquote civilization in the U.S. and then going out into quote-unquote untamed land that was already being lived in by other people. Yeah.
Yeah, it's pretty much the size of it.
Andrew Jackson is another example. Not a very good one. Because he was also a massive asshole. That's another story. Anyway, so yeah, there's this sort of culture like these rugged individualists who go out into the wild and, you know, tame the land and, you know, meet, you know, new places and carve out new places for a manifest destiny that would ultimately result in the genocide of the native peoples.
Yeah.
Yeah. For the record, guys, like, you know, Davy Crockett was actually, like, a pretty, like, big opponent of the way that the United States government treated the native population. So, you know, that's at least one feather in his coonskin cap, I guess.
Yeah.
And then there's Jeremiah Johnson. So, he was born John Jeremiah Garrison Johnson in 1824. He served during the Mexican-American War. By you know, he went in. I think he was like 15, 16 at the time, and he went in by lying about his age and enlisted. He then,
sure happened all the time back then.
It yeah. really seemed to happen all the time.
Yeah. Then he decided to travel west to, you know, try his hand at getting some gold. Because, you know, it was the gold rush.
Yeah.
He also made his money, like, doing stuff like supplying cordwood for steamboats. He also did work for, like, you know, he was a hunter and a trapper, obviously. He would peddle whiskey. He was a guide, a deputy, a constable. He would build log cabins for people. He was one of those jack-of-all-trades type of guy.
Sounds like.
Yeah. That was underlined by the fact that he was fucking insane. And let me just tell you how fucking insane he was. So, sometime in the 1840s, Johnson married a woman who was a flathead. You guys know what a flathead is? That's a Native American tribe.
Oh.
Okay. Yeah. They're located in, I believe, Montana. Well, that's where the current reservation is. Now, do you guys know that there was what – you probably don't know this – but you know who the Flathead tribe was at war with at this time period? The Crow.
Okay.
Crow Indian. And so in 1847, a group of Crow Indians that was led by a young Crow brave found his wife and killed her. And I guess supposedly scalped her as well. By the way, I'm pretty sure that the Native Americans actually learned scalping from the Europeans. Can't remember how that goes. But anyway, so as you can imagine, Johnson was like, okay, fuck these people. So he then spent the next 25 years going into like these either small group or like one-man raids of going into Crow territory and just straight up killing any Crow Indian he saw.
Shit.
He claimed by the end of it to have scalped more than 300 Crow Indians. And then he devoured their livers.
For good measure.
Yeah, so... Yeah,
as you do.
Well, the reason he gave is that supposedly in Crow culture, the liver is considered to be like a very important organ and that you can't go on into the afterlife unless your liver is intact. So this was sort of his way of like... you know, making sure that their souls could never rest in peace. This actually led to his infamous nickname, which is Liver Eating Johnson.
Well, I mean, if you're going to have a nickname, go bigger. Yeah, I mean,
they're keeping it simple.
Yeah. Nicknames back then were commonplace. In fact, there were other two Johnsons. There was one guy named Pear Loving Johnson, another called Long Toes Johnson. So, you know, it wasn't unusual. Why. Yeah. Supposedly, he was once ambushed by a group of Blackfoot, because he was on, he was getting ready to sell some whiskey to other members of the Flathead tribe, you know, that he was related to, because again, he kind of married into it. And this is basically what Wikipedia says. Blackfoot planned to sell him to the Crow, his mortal enemies, for a handsome price. He was stripped to the waist, tied with leather thongs, and put in a teepee with only one very inexperienced guard. Johnson managed to break through the straps. He then knocked out his young guard with a kick, took his knife and scalped him, and then quickly cut off one of his legs. He made his escape into the woods, surviving by eating the Blackfoot's leg until he reached the cabin of Delgue, his trapping partner, which was a journey of about 200 miles.
Okay, so what kind of, like, fucking lightsaber switchblade thing did he have where he could quickly cut off an entire human leg?
Yeah.
Quickly? Maybe they're taking some.
It's, again, the thing with mountain men stories like these is that a lot of them are tall tales. And, you know, this was like dime novel fare. So parts of it that are true and what of it is bullshit is really hard to figure out. The thing is, we know about his crow stuff because we actually have his diaries. And he actually writes down, like, what he did and how he did it and why he did it.
Wow.
Yeah. Eventually, though, he would eventually make peace with the Crow tribe and would end his vendetta with them after 25 years.
Jeez. I mean, he could fucking hold a grudge.
Mm-hmm. And apparently his, that particular thing would end up growing. And so all of the various, Plains Indian tribes of that time, they would tell stories about him. And so he ended up getting known as Crow Killer, and he would be and you would hear him from like the Blackfeet and the Sioux who would, Sioux, by the way, those are the Lakota, would tell about Dapiek Absaroka. That was the name they gave him. Eventually, he died on January 21st, 1900. So he lived for 75 years.
That was a long ass time for back then.
Oh, yeah. I think after eating all of those livers, I think his body just became superhuman.
That's entirely possible.
And with all of the cannibalism and just mass murder, I'm pretty sure death even wanted to keep a wide berth.
Yeah. He died. He was buried at a veterans cemetery in Los Angeles. But in 1974, after a 6-month campaign that was led by 25 seventh grade students and their teacher, they decided to take Johnson's remains and relocate them to Cody, Wyoming at his birthplace in 1974. Well, that wasn't his birthplace. He was actually – I forgot to mention, Cody, Wyoming is where he, like, originally made his homestead and where he, like, made his, you know, his home life. He was actually born in New Jersey.
That's fun.
Yeah. And that was the story of John Jeremiah Liver Eater Garrison Johnston.
Liver Eater?
The crazy motherfucker who put a reign of terror on the West, the likes of which, well, pretty much most of the tribes would know because, yeah.
Yeah.
And that has been yet another edition of Brandon's Random Factoid. Yeah, cool. You know how, like I said, how we talk about how we have these weird cults of personalities around mountain men? Says a lot about our culture, doesn't it?
Well, yeah. You know, I think there's probably similarities in every culture.
Oh, yeah. Definitely. I definitely think there is. Every culture has their folk heroes.
Yeah.
But anyway. All right, so with that out of the way, it is now time for the show proper. And as we must always do, we have to start with our assholes of the week. We have two assholes of the week. The first is the Department of Homeland Security because they decided to block New Yorkers from the Global Entry Program. Why? Because the state decided to pass a sanctuary law.
Yeah, heaven forbid.
Yeah, just a weird whole thing of, you know, just being spiteful towards a state's worth of people because they have a law that doesn't really affect them, but goes against, you know, ICE, essentially. Mm-hmm. You know, which is one of their, you know, enforcement agencies of Nazis, essentially.
Yeah.
Yeah, they passed a green light law, which went into effect in December, allows undocumented immigrants to apply for New York driver's licenses while protecting applicants' information from immigration enforcement agencies.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Basically, New York State residents cannot enroll or re-enroll in the Trusted Traveler programs because, as they said, Acting Secretary of the Department of Homeland Security said, because we no longer have access to make sure that they meet those program requirements, so we need to do our job. You know, which, doesn't really work as the mayor, or no, Governor Cuomo. Basically saying, like, yeah, this is not saying it's pure politics. It has nothing to do with affecting government policy or laws.
Yeah, the state's actually sued. So
yeah,
once again, showing that the whole debate over states' rights is bullshit.
Yeah,
because once again, you only argue about states' rights when it benefits you.
Absolutely true. Every time.
Mm-hmm. So yeah, screw you, Department of Homeland Security.
Yep.
Go that's
not, in on.
Yeah. But that's not the only assholes of the week we got. We also have these assholes. A Facebook group of anti-vaxxers. Why? Because they convinced a mom to not use Tamiflu for her 4-year-old, and because of that, the poor kid died.
Yeah.
Yep. Yeah. See, it was the state of Colorado's second pediatric flu death of the season. Mm-hmm. First in January was a school-aged child outside Denver metro area. Second was a 4-year-old from Pueblo. Days after his death. In early February, two of the mom's brothers tested positive. Or no, the kid's brothers. Yeah. The kid's brothers tested positive for influenza, and according to a GoFundMe set up by the family, his mother took his 10-month-old brother to the emergency room with a fever 104. Upon returning home, she gave the boys baths and sent the 4-year-old and his 5-year-old brother to the room to put on pajamas. Minutes later, the 5-year-old came out and told his mother that the 4-year-old was asleep. His mother discovered him lying on the floor, pale, where he had apparently suffered a febrile seizure. As a result of flu-related fever.
Yep.
Called 911, started CPR. He was eventually airlifted to a hospital in Colorado Springs.
Mm-hmm.
He was taken off of life support on Wednesday.
Yep.
And yeah, the Facebook group was called Stop Mandatory Vaccination. Circulating online. Had screenshots that appear to show that the week before the boy died, his mother sought advice on how to treat her son's illness. Bad place to go.
Yeah.
Members of the group advised giving the boy vitamins, botanicals, and fruits and vegetables rather than the Tamiflu that the doctor prescribed.
Mm-hmm.
In the thread, which has now apparently been scrubbed from the group's Facebook group, the doc prescribed Tamiflu. I did not pick it up. You're better off taking vitamin D and C, elderberry, zinc, and eating lots of fruits and vegetables.
Oh, sure, because that fucking protected everybody for the whole of fucking humanity.
Yeah. Later in the conversation, which can still be viewed in screenshots, the panicked mother notes that she has been using elderberry, peppermint oil, and vitamin C the group members recommended. Her son's fever is still not breaking. Any other tips? I'm terrified for another seizure. Please no hard comments. I am a mama freaking out all alone in this with a family who believes in none natural ways, so I'm going through alone, and they are making me feel bad for not putting him on Tamiflu. A group member chimes in, boiled
she should feel bad.
On the stove. Vitamin C until diarrhea.
Oh, because that's fucking great.
Yeah,
dehydrate
that's gonna
someone.
Fix everything.
Yeah. You want to guess how many members they have?
No.
178,000 members.
Yeah.
10,000 posts in the last 30 days alone.
I know.
Run by somebody named Larry Cook.
Mm-hmm.
His website slogan is vaccines don't save lives, healthy immune systems do. Well, you know what? Both do.
Well, now they got blood on their hands. Well, they did already, I'm sure.
They did.
Yeah.
They should start charging these specific people that were talking to her with attempt or assistance for murder.
Accessory to murder. Yeah. At least manslaughter.
It's like the same thing that you guys remember when the hurricane came and there were people who went and rescued animals, and they were administering medicine for rescued animals, and they got charged a lot for practicing without a license.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. That's a thing.
Yeah, we need to start charging these people that
for humans. Fuck
offering,
for
offering medical advice that are not certified to do so.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. An aid in the death of anybody. humans or even pets.
Yeah. Yeah.
Because they're not equipped to offer this stuff.
Yeah.
Even though the mobs should know better than to listen to people on Facebook, this kind of group. Like, mm-hmm. Go fucking read WebMD.
It's worse than better. Dr. Google. Yeah, right?
You might have cancer as well, but at least you'll take them to the doctor and get whatever taken care of. But yeah.
All right.
Wait, Facebook wants to make money off these people, not get rid of them.
No.
Yeah.
They don't care.
No, they don't. But we do have our heroes of the week. And it's the state of Virginia. Well, specifically the Virginia legislature, which, for those you don't know, is Democrat-controlled. They have a Democrat governor.
Mm-hmm. For the first time in a long time.
Yeah. And amongst other things, because this isn't only the good piece of legislation that's happening in Virginia right now, but it is one to pay attention to. They are advancing a bill that is banning assault weapons in the state of Virginia.
Yeah, so it's HB 961.
Mm-hmm.
Looks to ban assault weapons defined as semi-automatic rifles and pistols, high-capacity magazines, more than 12 rounds, trigger activators that are designed to make weapons fire more rapidly, and silencers.
Mm-hmm.
It also looks to prevent the possession, sale, purchase, and restrict the transfer of assault weapons. And it's a part of a package of 8 gun violence prevention measures introduced last summer, which was when the House was led by Republicans.
Mm-hmm.
Where it says here, at the time, the Republican-led House abruptly adjourned the session without action, but the initiatives gained new life in November after Democrats took control of both chambers of Virginia's legislature.
Yep.
And of course, the bill passed the Public Safety Committee in a party-line vote of 12 Democrats and 9 Republicans. My for opposition to the measure was voiced by pro-gun Virginia residents and groups.
Yep.
Let's see. This guy from the NRA's Virginia State Legislative Director said, "We strongly oppose this bill. This bill would not make Virginians safer. What this bill does is make law-abiding Virginians felons overnight."
Oh, my God.
Yeah, boy.
Go live on a college campus that they like to shoot up. Then talk to us.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Oh, God.
Oh, yeah. So, yeah.
Yeah. This is the same place that a bunch of assault weapon-toting assholes stormed their Capitol building.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's that. That was what that that I guess they called it a gun rights thing that they were holding.
Oh, that's what you called it, huh?
Yeah,
just a bunch of locals in body armor and all this shit that
didn't look like they needed it.
Yeah, it sounds
really terroristy to me.
Yeah, they didn't end up doing jack shit because the bill's still going forward.
Yeah. They just told everybody that was working at the Capitol and elsewhere, you know what, stay home.
Yeah.
Don't even bother counter-protesting because it's might as well avoid anything happening like in Charlottesville and all that.
Yeah. It actually worked because, as far as I could tell, the whole thing was largely ignored. They had like hundreds of people that showed up and...
Luckily nothing happened because there's only like a handful of cops.
Yeah.
It's like, you guys are way underprepared for this.
Yeah,
they would have been fucked if anything had gone
sideways. Yeah, because sounds to me like they were itching for a fight.
Oh, that was the whole point. See, here's the thing you got about... here's the thing you got to understand about these types of people that go to rallies like this. These people don't really give a shit about gun rights. Mm-mm. In reality, basically, these people only show up because in their minds they think they're Rambo.
Yeah,
they think they're fucking Clint Eastwood in The Dirty Dozen, or they think that they're going to be the big heroes, and if something comes out, they're going to be the action hero.
Do these people realize Rambo killed a bunch of cops?
Also forgot that in the first one, Rambo is a PTSD-addled lunatic.
Yeah, from Vietnam.
Yeah, from Vietnam. He's not the hero in the story.
He's a tragic figure.
Yeah. And, they're basically what you call the mall ninja types.
Yeah.
They think, you know, they in their mind they're badasses, and they think that they're absolutely prepared. So if any shit goes down, they'll be able to, like, you know, it's like, yeah, I'm going to be the guy. Say, no, they're not. They're not. None of them are. None of these assholes have actually shot. Yeah. Most of these assholes don't even have proper trigger discipline. Like, yeah.
It's true.
Yep. You know, these are the people that
slumped over their shoulders.
Yeah. These are the people you hear stories about where, you know, they end up, you know, looking the wrong way and, you know, their kids manage to grab their gun and accidentally injure themselves. You know, these are the people that you hear about. You know, they go around walking around in, like, parking lots with you know, AR-15 strapped to their shoulder because they think they're badasses. The point I'm trying to make it is these aren't the people that are actually your average American gun owner.
No. Most people are afraid of guns.
Yeah.
Rifle.
Yeah, nice healthy fear.
And you know, most, like, people in America who have guns are also smart enough to keep them safely stored away.
Indeed. I mean, you don't want them rusting. You keep them in a gun safe.
Yeah, I have five guns.
It keeps the humidity off of them.
Yeah, I have five guns myself. My parents have two, and all seven of them are locked away in a gun safe in my parents' bedroom.
Yeah, I've seen gun safes like, this holds 28 guns. Like, if you need this, you probably have too many guns.
Well, sometimes you end up inheriting them, and what are you going to, you can't just throw a grandpa's gun.
Yeah, that is true. Like, two of my guns I inherited from my granddad, so.
Yeah.
Well, you know
what? You have to remember, but also I need to point out, I live in out in the sticks, and guns are kind of a necessity out here.
They really can be, because you're, like, freaking an hour from any kind of. Well, not an hour, but it's going to take a long time for the state police to get there.
Yeah.
And the sheriff isn't going to do anything, so.
Oh. Well, actually, I was fixing to say we actually live across the street from the sheriff, but he's not the sheriff anymore. But,
oh, yeah.
You know, if gun rights are such a big thing, bury them with the people that die so that when their zombie, when the zombie comes back, they're able to protect themselves from the living.
Don't laugh. Some people actually put that in their will.
Yeah.
Yeah. But anyway, the point is, good on Virginia for doing this.
Yeah.
You had all the inept, you know, impotent assholes go out and, you know, show their asses, and it didn't do diddly. So.
No. Yeah.
All right. So, with that out of the way, we are now going into the show proper, and tonight we go into the final installment of Impeachment Watch.
For now. Technically,
yeah.
For now. For now.
Yeah.
Yeah. So the basically what we thought was going to happen happened. Like, let's be honest, none of us were under any illusion that this, you know, we thought that these guys, you know, none of us were under the illusion that these guys would suddenly grow us an ounce of backbone at the end here. No.
Well, Mitt Romney did.
Well, yeah, but we'll get to him in a second. So, yeah, the Senate voted 52-48 for the first count and 53-47 of the second count to acquit Trump of both impeachment charges.
Yep. So,
yeah. First one was abuse of power. Mm-hmm. Second one was obstruction of Congress. And pretty much along party lines.
With one exception.
Yeah.
That one exception was Senator Mitt Romney.
He was only able to vote for, I think it was the first article.
Yeah.
So, yeah, that was, didn't help either way because you need two thirds, which would be, what, 67?
There's no way.
And there was no way that the Republicans who have a six-member lead?
It's an advantage.
Yeah.
No.
None of them were going to break ranks on this. Mm.
Nope.
Particularly because Trump threatened him, saying, you know, we're going to put your head on a pike if you cross me, which is mafia shit right there.
Yeah.
And yeah, none of these guys, but Mitt Romney even took an opportunity to show that they had some spine in this. And then he got handsomely rewarded for that, as we see here from Pat State. throwing out state lawmakers filing a resolution to censure Romney over his impeachment vote, which probably isn't going to go anywhere. I think the governor said he's very much against it. But yeah, it definitely shows you how much we got another story here coming out, but certain somebody describes that he finally found out that the GOP is a cult at this point. And
yeah,
this was definitely a great example of this where, you know, nothing happened because Mitt Romney voting with the Dems on this was not going to change anything.
No.
But yeah, we have another person who said he wants to put in a bill to recall Mitt Romney's seat. Which got, I think he said, received more than 100 phone calls and 250 emails in just over an hour that were 100% positive to the bill.
Yeah, but see, here's the thing. Here's the thing, though. Wouldn't that have to, like, happen in the state of Utah?
Yeah. I believe so.
Yeah, here's the thing. Despite what you might think, Trump is not terribly popular in the state of Utah. At least not among the Mormon crowd, he isn't.
Yeah, but they'll also get in line.
Yeah, because they're Mormons.
Yeah. Yeah, Mitt Romney talked about this since he is also Mormon in his little speech, to which he, I think one of the members of the media, probably from some shitty site, was basically like, is this a ploy for a future run for president? He's like, ah, you got me. Me and my 2-3% of the GOP base, that's exactly what I was going for. Like, just fucking making fun of him for it. He's like, yeah, because you know where the state of Utah goes, the rest of the country follows. Which was a pretty funny bit. But of course,
Mitt Romney can be a funny bastard when he wants to be.
Yeah, when he wants to be realistic. And yeah, like the whole thing came off as the GOP just being, you know, just a huge cult, not wanting, because he got his invitation
being the GOP.
Yeah. Like he got his whole invitation to the CPAC conference pulled because he spoke out against Trump. And it's like, you know, he's the only one here that's reasonable. And even then, he doesn't deserve these articles calling him a hero.
Yeah.
It's like, no, he's just not stepping all the way into the bullshit.
Yeah. And make no mistake, most of those Republicans in the Senate knew he was guilty as sin.
Yeah.
Yeah.
They've, I mean, Ted Cruz, of all people, has actually come forward and said, oh, yeah, we knew the quid pro quo was there.
Yeah, they're very much like, yeah, he did it, but so what? It doesn't matter.
Yeah.
So,
yeah,
it's a good way to look at things.
It's a high-profile example of well, where everybody is getting to see that your system has just completely broken down at this point.
For the next 9 months, perhaps.
Well, you say that, and there's the election, but you know, at this point, I'm not entirely sure that Trump wouldn't just go, yeah, whatever, I don't care about those results, I'm staying.
There's actually a pretty decent number of people who have speculated that that could happen. That he would have to be forcibly removed, and he would claim that it was, you know, fake election results or whatever the hell.
Because here's the thing you have to remember, and Trump probably knows this, once he's no longer president, he is immediately going to court.
Oh, hell yeah. So many
times. He doesn't have the amount of, you know, if when you're president, you've got a certain degree of immunity. He won't have that afterwards.
Yeah. He's hoping for another 4 years of leeway.
Yeah.
Unless he can, you know, pull the Hitler card and become president for life, which is probably what he wants to do. But I don't know if you know this, but he's like 70 years old and doesn't look to be in very good health. So that's probably
definitely suffering from dementia.
Yeah, he's trying to die in office, I think.
Yeah. I would not be surprised if within the next 12 months you start seeing him walking with a cane. If you see him walking with a cane in the next 12 months, that is basically a dead giveaway.
Well, I mean, he was walking with a walker on SNL. You guys see that?
Yeah.
That was so funny. Are you pulling a Weinstein on me?
Anyway. So, yeah. And good news, Rush Limbaugh is fucking dying.
Yes.
You know, here's the thing. I wasn't originally going to say that because my granddad died the same way Rush Limbaugh did. And it was very long and it was painful and it was very traumatic for our entire family. Mm-hmm. And when I heard the news that he was suffering from stage 4 lung cancer, I actually had a bit of empathy. You know, my heart actually went out to him for a little bit.
Yeah.
And then after he got his Medal of Freedom and basically bitched about how, you know, we on the left are so full of hate and everything, I was like, no, fuck it. Yes. I hope you die, and I hope when you die, you choke on your own blood, you son of a bitch.
Yeah.
Yeah, this guy's been peddling hate for decades.
Yeah.
Against women, people of color, people on the left, anything that doesn't agree with his view on things, which, you know, it's a great way to go down.
Yeah.
Yeah, ordinarily I keep a fairly consistent position of fuck cancer, but I can make an exception in this case.
Yeah, this is me going, go cancer!
Yeah, I saw a good joke on Twitter. It's like, somebody like, I'm sorry to say this to you, cancer, but you have a Rush Limbaugh.
Yeah.
No! Why?
But yeah, he's going to have access to, you know, the medical care that he doesn't want anybody else to have, essentially.
Because he's, you know, got a lot of money.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, stage 4, he's probably still fucked.
Yeah, he's definitely fucked.
Oh, he is fucked. Like, absolutely 100% screwed. I would not be surprised if he doesn't end up surviving the rest of this year. Hmm. In fact, I would not be surprised if we hear he's dead by the time spring comes around.
Yeah. I saw what lung cancer did to my dad.
Yeah, it's no joke. It's rough.
Yeah, which is why during his State of the Union address, Trump made sure to essentially anoint him as like a deity of the right.
Like a saint something like that.
Just gave him the Presidential Medal of Freedom, which is supposed to be something that actually means something.
Well,
not anymore.
No, it actually hasn't for a while now. I sometimes have to remind people that George W. Bush awarded the Medal of Freedom to Bill Cosby. See how well that aged?
Yeah.
But Rush Limbaugh, you know, is just a person.
Well, see, we didn't really know about Bill Cosby's awfulness for a long time. Rush Limbaugh has been an out and proud asshole for about 35 years.
Yeah.
Yeah. Calling college students sluts for wanting birth control to be covered in healthcare.
Mm-hmm.
That kind of stuff, you know. A lot of awful shit.
Yeah.
You can search on the internet. Apparently people have been writing up articles like, here's some of the awful shit he said.
Mm-hmm.
On his show. Oh, he's so racist. When he was talking about black basketball players.
Yeah, and he said he thought it looked like a gang war between the Bloods and the Crips without the guns. Yeah.
Yeah. But yeah, what else happened at the State of the Union address, Brandon?
That part. So, by the way, for those who don't know, that State of the Union actually went over like a lead balloon. Apparently, the ratings were down by like 26% from what they were last year.
One third of what it was last year.
Yeah.
I love it.
Which, it was like 45 million last year, 46. It was about 15 this year.
Yeah. Which I hope is an omen of things to come.
Yeah.
And just to put the cherry on top, after the speech was over, Speaker of the House Nancy Pelosi got up and very publicly took her copy of Trump's speech and tore it in half.
Yeah, made sure to split it in half first before ripping it up so she could do it all in one swoop. Trump ignored Nancy Pelosi's offer of a handshake at the start.
Mm-hmm.
So Trump was very much being a petty bitch.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Which is his MO.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But then, obviously, the Republicans got highly offended.
Oh yeah.
By this, some of the senators and Trump alleged this was against the law.
It's not
on paper, which is not.
It's not.
It was just an accurate appraisal of the value of Trump's words.
Yeah,
which I believe she said, like, this was the most courteous thing she could do.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, she should have taken it to the bathroom.
Yeah, she said because it was the courteous thing to do, considering the alternatives.
Like shutting right
into the bathroom.
Of course, the White House tweeted out, Speaker Pelosi just ripped up one of our last surviving Tuskegee Airmen, the survival of a child born at 21 weeks, the mourning families of Rocky Jones and Kayla Mueller, service members reunion with his family. That's her legacy. It's like, no, her legacy is not taking your bullshit.
Yeah.
Is that entire statement right there.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Like, no, she ripped up a few pieces of paper.
Yeah.
That, frankly, were going to be recycled anyway.
Yeah.
Yeah.
She just did it.
I would have liked to throw it on the spot and thrown it at him.
Yeah. So Trump did exactly what you figured he was going to do after the acquittal happened. He decided to have his little victory lap. And you know where he decided to give his little victory speech?
Fox News.
At the National Prayer Breakfast.
Oh.
Oh, this was later.
Oh.
Yeah, so, the prayer breakfast and this.
Oh. On the same day?
Yeah.
Wow.
When he gets to bitch, he is all the energy in the world.
It's true. Yes, he does.
They got a bunch of quotes here. It's talking about the impeachment process. It was evil. It was corrupt. It was dirty cops. It was leakers and liars. A lot of that was the GOP
from
there.
A guy who's like physically, mentally, spiritually, ethically corrupt. Yeah. That's
right. I mean, criminals hate snitches.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. The crowd included a who's who of his cable television congressional allies, including Laura Ingraham, Rep. Devin Nunes, and Senate Majority Leader Mitch McConnell. Trump's legal team was given a standing ovation as they entered the room, so just in case you needed to know the sort of crowd he had there. I guess the one thing he wanted was bipartisan votes on this. He wanted some Democrat to break ranks, but did not get what he wanted because he was going to talk about that. I got to bitch about Romney. Romney said Wednesday he felt compelled to vote to convict because I swore an oath before God to exercise impartial justice. Trump accused him of using religion as a crutch.
Mm-hmm.
Which is the thing Trump has done.
Wow, that is like...
Is there
damn,
a soundbite of that?
Because
that needs to come back.
Trump also said, things happen when you fail so badly running for president. I'm sorry about Mitt Romney. Trump called Democrats vicious as hell and stone cold crazy, saying House Speaker Nancy Pelosi was a, quote, horrible person. And I doubt she prays at all, which also... Trump, you don't pray at all.
Mm-hmm.
Only to his You're own saved. Ass.
He refused
to concede. He'll be doing plenty of it later.
Mm. Yeah, saying his call to the Ukrainian president was perfect and a very good call. I know bad calls. I've done bad things. I've done things wrong in my life. I will admit, not purposely, I've done things wrong. He said impeachment was a very ugly word. Totally appropriate call, and they brought me to the final stages of impeachment. Then on the other hand, he mentioned he, quote, never thought a word would sound so good. It's called total acquittal. You're still impeached.
Yeah, you're also still
Had impeached. I not, and he also decided to go through his who's who of people he shit on over the years, so got to James Comey. Had I not fired James Comey, who was a disaster, by the way, it's possible I wouldn't even be standing here right now.
We wouldn't want that.
Yeah. Trump said of Comey, we caught him in the act. We later called a sleazebag, dirty cops, bad people. If this happened to President Obama, a lot of people would have been in jail for a long time already, many, many years.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
I wish we could have somebody.
Effectively, during his celebration, actually admitting everything.
Yeah.
Also, a bunch of people that were in your campaign are in jail.
Yeah.
I don't know why you're acting like it or not. Let's see. Earlier Thursday, he spoke at the National Prayer Breakfast, in which he excoriated the impeachment of his opponents while House Speaker Nancy Pelosi sat steps away.
By the way, do you know what the theme of the National Prayer Breakfast for this year was?
Oh, do
loving
tell.
Your enemies.
Oh, he loves his enemies. Loves shitting on them. So he said, I had Nancy Pelosi sitting four seats away, and I'm saying things a lot of people wouldn't have said, but I meant every word of it. And he criticized House Intelligence Committee Chairman Adam Schiff as, quote, a failed screenwriter. They're vicious and mean, Trump said of his opponents. Vicious. These people are vicious. Adam Schiff is a vicious, horrible person. Nancy Pelosi is a horrible person.
Quick question. Did any of you even know who Adam Schiff was until this all started?
Nope.
He had no idea.
He was just a regular dude doing his job until a pile of shit fell.
He is like one of the most unassuming human beings I have ever seen. To have, like, that kind of power.
Yeah, I would see him occasionally because he works with, like, Ted Lieu and those sort of people in the House.
Yeah.
But, yeah, I guess Chuck Schumer got a chance to talk a bit. Said he called the whole thing a diatribe filled with mistruths and profanity. Trump could have used his remarks to, quote, show some contrition. Schumer said he instead got on his, quote, his self-righteous high horse, saying he did nothing wrong. If that were true, the New York Democrats said, Trump would have welcomed witnesses and documents in the trial instead of blocking them. His acquittal vote has no value because a trial without witnesses or documents is a sham. The bottom line is President Trump executed the largest cover-up since Watergate. And luckily it's all documented on the internet now. They brought up the statement that Bill Clinton made after he was acquitted in 1999.
Yeah.
Which goes, now that the Senate has fulfilled its constitutional responsibility, bring this process to a conclusion. I want to say again to the American people how profoundly sorry I am for what I said and did to trigger these events and the great burden they have imposed on the Congress and on the American people. That's it. That's all I said.
That was all. Just those couple of sentences.
Not babbling on for hours over the course of a day.
Yeah. Make no mistake. It was still very much an oh poor me thing from Clinton because it was Bill Clinton. Yeah. But
also it's
compare that to how Donald Trump acted and it's like, yeah, this is how far we've fallen.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yay, reality TV. I blame you for fucking everything on this.
Oh, yeah. Oh, and unfortunately, we now have what may very well be a fodder for the next round of impeachment that may come, because the White House decided to fire Lieutenant Colonel Vindman, you know, the guy who went to testify. Yeah, he was fired and was escorted out of the White House by armed guards.
Yeah, along with his twin brother that also works in the White House, who was a counsel, I think, for National Security Council. And I guess just announced Sondland, Gordon Sondland, also got escorted out.
Yep.
I believe I saw somebody say, you know what happens if you retaliate upon people that testify against you? They go to prison.
Yeah.
Which is not going to happen for Trump because they've got he just got off on the biggest trial he's had in a long time.
Yeah. But if things go well, he won't be president in 9 months, so.
Yeah.
Speaking of voting, now we got the two other major sort of political stories. Joe Walsh was one of the, like, small handful of people that were thinking of trying to compete for the GOP presidential nomination this year. He dropped out this week because he finally realized that the GOP is a cult.
Yeah, that and he got 1% of the vote.
Yeah.
But he also said, I went to a caucus and gave a speech to about 3,000 Iowa Republicans. I then got up to make my pitch, and as you may have seen, it didn't go well. I got booed for saying that our party needed to do some soul-searching. I said the party is going to be a party of old white men unless we become more inclusive, more booze. I say we shouldn't be okay with a president who lies all the time. I say we need a president who's decent, not cruel. I said you might enjoy Trump's mean tweets, but most people don't. So he must be better than a president who makes every day about himself, booze, and more booze. A woman yelled that she loves the president's tweets. The crowd cheered her. Leaving the caucus that night, I realized once and for all that nobody can beat Trump in a Republican primary, not just because it's become his party, but because it has become a cult. And he's a cult leader. He doesn't have supporters. He has followers. In their eyes, he can do no wrong. They're being spoon-fed a daily dose of BS from conservative media. They don't know what the truth is, and more importantly, they don't care. There's nothing that any Republican challenger can do to break them out of this spell. Just, you know, like, welcome to the party, pal.
Glad to see you finally here.
For the last four or 5 years.
Yeah. For the record, Joe Walsh is also a garbage human being. Just need to put that out there.
Sullying. He also seems to have a brain, though.
Anyway. And then there's the other big political story of the week, which was the Iowa caucus. Oh my God, where do we begin?
That happened.
Yeah, it was a thing that happened, and everything that could possibly go wrong went wrong.
It went beyond Murphy's Law.
But basically,
incompetence here.
Yeah, but first of all, what you need to know is that the tie at the end of the caucus ended up being a tie between Bernie Sanders and Pete Buttigieg.
Which was hilarious because saw stories of people that did not know Pete Buttigieg was gay. And when they found out immediately after, like, I want to change my vote.
Yeah, they wanted to go back in and change their vote. It's like, Iowa's pretty damn rural, you guys.
Iowa is not a great indicator of what the rest of the country would do because it's 95% white, something like that. Ridiculous.
Yeah.
So, you know, Pete Buttigieg is obviously going to be high on that list. Joe Biden was also supposed to be, but he did not do well.
Yeah.
I think Buttigieg is getting all of the Biden people, the people who thought we were going to be Biden voters.
Yeah, because he is from
Pete.
Yeah, he's from Indiana, so he's got the Midwestern thing going on. Especially being the most center of all these guys, being the most moderate, to the degree that, you know, he's the most milquetoast candidate here for a state that's full of milquetoast people. They say, hey, Steve King, he's all right for us.
Yeah. But here's the thing, though, and this is the other part of the story, is that we talked about how Bernie and Pete are virtually tied. I say that because technically Bernie has a higher percentage than Pete does, but the margin of error is between about like 4.7%.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah, we had a number of outlets saying, you know, this is – we cannot count these because there's a lot of irregularities in this – in these numbers.
And a lot of it had to do with this app that they were supposed to use.
The app and the way that the various groups were handling their information.
Yeah.
It seemed like they were not doing a good job of preserving all of it.
Yeah.
For some districts where it's like, oh, we have this, but then somehow like Elizabeth Warren and Bernie have zero.
Yeah,
out of this whole group, and it's like, how does that happen when it's, you know, they got numbers. For whatever reason, they didn't show anything for like a day and a half.
Yeah, it's we didn't start getting any numbers. Yeah,
of it, which people on the on Twitter were like doing jokes of like, oh, I watched 62% of Titanic, and Jack and Rose are gonna be a happy couple for years to come. Doing all these sort of jokes out. Why 62% is not enough?
Yeah,
to know what's happening. Which just allowed a bunch of the people like declare themselves winners when all the press was on them, and then when it, the results came out, you're like, "And none of you really won." It was kind of a tie, and it's like, "All right,
yeah,
no, they all lost." That's what happened here.
Yeah. Well, this is like twice now that Iowa is like. Fucked up.
Was that a Freudian slip?
I believe that was.
A lot of people are realizing, like, why do we only have Iowa on this first week? Because they're not really an indicator of much.
Yeah.
Unless just somebody is like dominating everybody else, and that did not happen here.
Yeah.
No.
Well, I mean, basically, had combined, Pete and Bernie did things to the rest of the field that will probably make the neighbors want to move.
Yeah.
Yeah.
For one thing, Joe Biden ended up finishing at a very poor fifth place.
Yeah, because Buttigieg got all of his supporters.
Yeah. Yep.
Yeah.
That is
Nevada was supposed to use the same kind of app, but when
Iowa saying went
south, no. They were like, "Nope, we're just yeah. open themselves out of there."
And the
paper.
Yeah. Paper so. As you can probably expect, a lot of people were extremely suspicious about all of this.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah, the conspiracy part of Bernie's base went nuts over this.
And when, not without reason.
No, but...
But I do think they probably overdid it a little.
They don't need that much of a cause for it to go into that mode.
Yeah, well, let me break down some of the just stupidity that happened with this episode. Because I followed up on this a little bit.
Yeah, let's start with the name first of all.
Okay, so if you're gonna create a company that's gonna be trustworthy as far as your elections, you probably shouldn't call it Shadow Inc.
What?
So that's strike one.
Dark web.
Yeah. secondly. This app was not actually in the app stores. You had to sideload it.
Yeah. So which is strike two. And
surely everybody in Iowa is privy to how to do that.
Also, isn't that like a major freaking security risk?
Yes, it especially is. Since the app itself was not signed.
It seems like that is common in all of the ways that we do polling and all this, with tech at least.
Yeah.
Well, I'm sorry, but all these documents that I've been writing strictly prohibit sideloading of any apps that are not approved by the App Store or the Google Play Store, mm-hmm. and no modifications, jailbreaking, custom bootloaders, none of that crap.
Mm. Nope.
Yeah.
And there was also came about that there's a little bit of conflict of interest involved here, too.
Yeah, because they're a for-profit company. Oh, just a wee bit.
Yeah. What did you say?
I said there were four. Just a... You go ahead.
What? I was just saying there's a wee bit, just a little itty-bitty inkling of conflict of interest.
Hmm. Yeah, and that conflict of interest is?
Well, they're a for-profit company whose profits go into campaigning.
And who are they? Whose campaign is that?
Comprised mostly of Hillary Clinton's veterans from her campaign.
Yeah.
And also Pete Buttigieg.
Yeah.
Well, yeah, him too.
Him too.
Which probably is a more salient
not a good look.
At the moment.
Yeah.
No, it's not.
Yeah. Oh, and then they didn't bother doing any testing on the app. So when it actually came to deploying it, the servers exploded.
Yep.
At least that sounds like every other app that goes out.
That is true. That's the most.
If we tested with five people, it seems okay. Surely when we put thousands of people on this, it won't be too much of an issue.
Yeah.
No, surely not.
Yeah.
Especially when you deal with internet connections in the middle of Iowa.
Mm-hmm. So, this was not a good look.
No, it was not. Mm. But it did show something that a lot of people did not expect, which is that Bernie really is the front runner here.
Yeah.
At least for right now.
Yeah.
And
so much so that the entirety of the mainstream media finally decided that maybe Iowa isn't really worth it.
Hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's like maybe not stretch this whole fucking thing over like 2 or 3 months.
Yeah.
Maybe not.
By the way, the next primaries happen next week.
Yeah. New Hampshire's next, right?
Mm. Which should be a Bernie... led things since he is from Vermont up there.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yep.
Probably him and Elizabeth, mm-hmm. Since they're both up there in New England.
Yeah.
Probably not too much Pete Buttigieg. Mm. Joe Biden.
All right.
Yeah. So,
Yeah, if Pete takes Biden voters up there, Joe will be dropping out sooner than later.
Yes.
Yeah.
He can listen to his phonograph.
Yeah. And now for the other major stuff from the week, which was the coronavirus. It's gotten worse. First things first, as I said last week, part of the reason this grew into such a major issue in the first place was the incompetence of both the Communist Party of China and the Chinese government. Because you had guys like this gentleman here, who was
the whistleblower.
There's a really nasty new virus, and we need to do something. Yeah, and then sadly he passed away. Yeah, and he sadly died from coronavirus this week.
Yep.
God, that is just that's just the worst.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, but the nice thing
is
that
this guy's a fucking hero.
Yeah.
Yeah. The nice thing is on the social media that China does have, people had their asses lit up to protest and ask for the government to be fully transparent because whatever they're doing was not working.
Nope.
Misleading people, potentially spreading this whole thing out to the rest of the world.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Yeah. They need to figure out what this is. Well, coronavirus is a type of virus.
It's a mutated version of the influenza.
Yeah, how to deal with that. But yeah, we should probably point out for context that it's still really, really tiny numbers compared to what the flu does every year.
Yeah, yeah. It is true. That is true. But the difference is we don't have a vaccine for this.
Yet, yeah.
I've seen that they're trying to work on one that will be available in 2021. Mm-hmm. So it's still going to be a while.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And we've seen so far some businesses being affected by this. I think Hyundai is stopping production for a few days to assess what sort of issues they're going to have.
Yeah.
Because they get a lot of their parts from China.
Yeah.
Apple's stopping too.
Yeah.
Nintendo is also stopping some production as well. Hmm. I believe
games will be getting delayed.
Yep,
mm-hmm. Here because the number of outsourcing and porting work gets done in China.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
But yeah, we've so far the death count is over 630 right now.
Mm-hmm.
31,000 people infected.
Yeah,
in 25 countries and territories.
Which includes the United States.
So, yeah, they are testing the healthcare workers by me right now who are caring for the couple who are infected here.
Yeah.
And see, one of the other things about the coronavirus is it is super contagious.
Yup.
And the effects and symptoms are can be really delayed.
Yeah.
Like, you could not show any symptoms for, a week before.
Yeah, yeah, it seems like because of this whole thing going on, the face masks are starting to get into short supply.
Yeah.
That actually affected me because I've been sick.
Yeah.
And one of the things that I wanted to do before I went back to work, before I knew that I didn't have the flu, of course, was have some of those masks on hand. And one of my friends went on a shopping run for me because there was no way I was leaving the apartment and couldn't find any of them anywhere. So.
Yeah, I went to Woodfield Mall, which is probably the largest indoor suburban Chicagoland mall. And I saw a great number of people sporting masks.
Yeah.
Which is more probably than I premature usually for that than you need. Mm-hmm. Considering how many people you have. I know,
they were 10 miles from the couple who's infected.
Yeah,
not even.
You know what's the easiest way to avoid? Stay in the fucking house.
Oh, yeah.
Order that shit off of Amazon or whatever. Because I'm sure there are third parties selling that shit for way more than it needs to.
Amazon doesn't have
advantage.
Pokemon spins. You gotta go to the mall, man.
That's where you get a car.
Probably.
So anybody tries to get in, you're getting run over.
That is the same mall that you guys remember earlier this year. The guy drove his SUV through it.
Oh yeah.
Did we talk about
shit.
That?
Yeah.
Yeah, he's in the news too for more charges unrelated to that. Mm-hmm. Poor guy has some issues.
But yeah, the pandemic of the way the media is portraying some of this stuff. Is necessary to make sure people understand the risk of this stuff, but also that Mm-hmm. The amount of people infected in this country is not that much.
No.
Yeah, it's not.
The average person's not going to have to worry about every single person there walking by being infected with this.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Cause they're at least doing a pretty good job of noting anybody that's coming through the airports, like, oh, this person came from China. We need you to do some stuff first before we let you get where you're going.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But also, I saw a nice story that was hugely surprising that because of coronavirus, racism against Asians in this country is going way up.
Of course. I know.
Of course.
Because, hey, gotta blame anybody that looks vaguely Chinese.
Yeah.
Because, I don't know, somehow they had this magical flu.
Yeah.
Just transmits across race.
Mm-hmm.
Also, it's going to sound like I'm making a joke here, but I'm not. The sales of Corona beer have actually dropped significantly.
People are that stupid.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Do you see who our fucking president is? Yes, they're that stupid.
It's true.
Sorry. That was really
no, hard. You're right.
No, you're right.
Don't
you're
need
right.
to apologize.
So, yeah. All right, and that's...
So do Corona a solid and actually buy it right now?
Mm-hmm.
No, it's you know?
Shit. It's not that bad.
That means there's more demand for the others than that one.
Well, I mean, if it comes down to, like, a choice between, like, Heineken and Corona, I'll take Corona.
Well, yeah, it's Corona, not Heineken.
You just start telling people, this is how you protect yourself against coronavirus.
Yeah. Drink it. This is the antidote.
That's why they named it.
Yeah.
There's some people in this house.
Take two of these in the morning.
Mm-hmm. All right. Yeah. Well, that's more or less the end of the awful shit of this week.
Yep.
In good news, Greta Thunberg's been nominated for the Nobel Peace Prize.
Yeah. Yeah.
Good.
Also has been nominated this week for the Hong Kong. So, some good news. All right.
Good on her.
Yeah. Especially for someone who is on the spectrum like me. That's
Yeah. I hope she wins because it will just piss Trump right off.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. I think she's probably going to win because it will piss Trump off.
Yeah.
The Nobel Prize committee is not exactly subtle at times.
You've got no love for him.
No.
No. Next up.
Just give it to Obama again.
Mm-hmm. Oh, that'd be delicious.
Yeah. All right. Next up. Gritty, who is the mascot for the Philadelphia Flyers and anti-fascist icon.
What?
I'm not sure exactly how that materialized, but...
Okay.
Yeah.
What sort of sports is that?
It's hockey.
Swapped.
Okay.
And the offspring between the Grimace and a Muppet.
Yeah,
I believe.
Oh, yeah, basically.
That's the lineage.
He settled he was cleared of wrongdoing in an alleged assault case with a 13-year-old fan.
Yeah, supposedly...
Even if it had happened, I still say it would have been the most Philadelphia thing that ever happened.
Yeah, this is the city that famously throws batteries at rival team players, so...
Yeah, it was first reported by the Philadelphia Inquirer in January. Flyers season ticket holder told the Inquirer his son playfully patted Gritty on the head after the photo was taken at a November event. Walked away, Greenwald... he said, Gritty left his chair... Took a running start and punched my son as hard as he could.
Yeah, he didn't.
And they have video. They looked at all the video they had and didn't see any evidence of this.
Nope.
He said his son was diagnosed with a black back bruise, provided the Inquirer with documents from a chiropractor, filed a police complaint, and the police and the Flyers did the investigation work that they had to and came up with no real evidence that... this happened, or at least to the degree that the father says it did.
Yeah, kind of hard to prove that when the time frame you're specifying there's actual video of.
Yeah, especially because it's not like it's hard to see what the dude in the giant suit is doing.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Not like a random person in a crowd. Mm. It's the dude in a giant obnoxious suit.
Yeah.
No, this is like a plot line from a sports comedy movie or something. Like,
mm-hmm.
the team's on a bit of a losing streak. Their frustrations are mounting throughout the organization.
Like, and it's always and sunny in Philadelphia.
And the mascot beats up a 13-year-old.
Yeah.
It's always sunny episode.
Basically.
Yeah.
That's something.
The gang fights gritty.
Mm-hmm. It's also the first time in history where a Philadelphia sports figure was actually acquitted of assault charges.
You're probably not wrong.
Yeah. All right. So, next up. Barnes & Noble made a massive snafu this week.
It always happens this month every year.
Yeah. Because, as you don't know, it's February, and February is Black History Month.
Mm. Oh, no. Is this the controversy with Oprah?
No.
No.
Okay.
See, they had, Barnes & Noble had come up with this really stupid idea where they would re-release versions of literary classics, but with covers that featured people of color on them for Black History Month.
Oh, shit. How could this possibly not go right?
Yeah, like where you have the cover of Frankenstein with Frankenstein's monster being a black man.
Okay.
Some people didn't think this through, clearly.
Yeah. Some of them could work, like The Wizard of Oz with Dorothy being black. Like, sure.
Yeah, well, see, no, it wasn't.
They already
did
this shit.
Yeah, I was going to say they did. It was called The Wiz.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But the thing is, that would not work because, you know, The Wizard of Oz already has illustrations with it.
Yeah. But yeah, it's weird just because, one, it's just the cover.
Yeah.
So they didn't change anything about the story,
mm-hmm.
which would probably be bad anyway. Mm-hmm. They're trying to force it into these stories that were written, you know, decades ago, if not hundreds of years ago.
Yeah.
Instead of, like, a lot of, they got tweets here from people like, just promote diverse authors in your stores. Promote diverse authors and stop perpetuating the idea that these classics are necessary and required towards becoming well-read. Giving Dorothy Ruby Jordans does not change the words inside the book.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, see, somebody else sit here slapping brown people on classic books, some of which are problematic as in diversity. We ain't even going to talk about the metaphor of the black man on the cover of Frankenstein.
Mm.
Yeah, which is like the one there that sticks out really big time. The Secret Garden is a book that hinges on the premise that Mary Lennox is a peevish white girl born and raised in India by colonialist British parents.
Yeah.
Can't say for sure that it looks like on this cover they made Mary Lennox Asian. Yeah.
See, that's the thing. That's the big problem with this is that none of it makes any sense.
Yeah. It's like, hey, just get classics written by black people.
Yeah, like,
that's how you celebrate Black History Month.
Yeah, like The Invisible Man or Raisin in the Sun or, you know, Langston Hughes. Yeah. There's plenty to choose from.
No, they're just going to promote the same books that generally get brought up in English class throughout your time in school.
Yeah. Anyway,
so what happens when you don't have diversity in your marketing groups for this kind of stuff?
Yeah, you end up making stupid boneheads.
So you have somebody that's like, no, you fucking idiots. This is stupid.
Yeah. Exactly. All right, next up, in honestly something that should have probably stayed buried, Dunkaroos are making a comeback this summer.
Is that the little sticks that had, like, the chocolate pudding or shit like that?
No, they were the little cookies that were shaped like kangaroos that you dipped into chocolate frosting. And it wasn't even good chocolate frosting. It was like...
Yeah, it was shit.
That's great after, like, 2 billion kangaroos just died.
Yeah. The cookie version of, like, the little cracker trays with cheese in them.
Yeah.
Which obviously is more kid-friendly, but also... They're fucking vanilla cookies. You can fucking buy those. Like, you can get your pack of frosting if you need that and dip it in there like a monster.
For God's sakes, just get a get a freaking jar of Nutella. Like, seriously.
Mm.
That's exactly what that should be.
Just buy a thing of vanilla Oreos.
Yeah. Or just get regular Oreos, like a normal person.
Get one of the 50,000 flavors they have of that shit.
Ooh, get the EL fudge cookies.
Yeah.
That too. There's tons of cookies with frosting in them.
Yeah. Or the ones with the M&Ms in them. Yeah, you know, it's anything but freaking Dunkaroos.
There's 50,000 different types of cookies and candy and all this. If you're going to dip into this stuff, but they're going for 90s nostalgia with the video they posted on Twitter is like posting trends like from the 90s, like Frosted Tips, totally not coming back. Cassette tapes, definitely not coming back.
Except they are.
90s fashion, probably coming back.
Mm-hmm.
Dunkaroos, definitely coming back this summer. It's like, I guess Betty Crocker has nothing better to do.
Bullshit.
Yeah, exactly.
Sorry. You sell their same cake mix they've been selling for 30 years at this point.
Yeah.
Seriously. But anyway, next up, in a story that is definitely ominous, it is now currently warmer in Antarctica than it is for most of the U.S. and Canada.
Yeah, definitely
65
ominous.
Degrees this week. 18.3 degrees Celsius. Which, to be fair, it's summer in the southern hemisphere, but usually Antarctica is not.
No.
Not springtime warm.
No.
Yeah.
Because right now, here it's 25 degrees.
Mm-hmm.
17 wind chill, so they've almost got three times the warmth that we have.
Yeah, it's 14 here right now, so yeah, that's no good.
So the World Meteorological Organization says that would make it the hottest temperature that we have seen over the length of record that we have for Antarctica.
Yeah.
Still want to deny climate change?
No fucking problems here, guys. No fucking problems.
Nobody's in Antarctica. It means nothing.
There actually are people in Antarctica. For those
maybe we'll be able to have people inhabit Antarctica at this rate.
There are already people that inhabit Antarctica.
Yeah. Well, they're there for like a year. That's it. They don't really live there for extended periods of time.
Yeah. And I'll be able to, you know, I'll be able to enjoy all of this in my oceanfront view 30 years from now in downtown Atlanta.
You're probably not wrong.
Yeah.
As Florida sinks into the ocean, or the ocean sinks them.
Consumes, Florida.
And not even, and it's the good parts of Florida too.
No,
it couldn't take like frickin' Jacksonville with it. No, it's got to take Orlando and Miami.
And
we'll see how Disney reacts to this.
Oh, they'll just probably airlift the whole park and drop it in the Midwest.
They got enough money for it.
Yeah. Anyway, we got some good news from the music world this day. Megadeth Dave Mustaine announced that he is 100% cancer-free.
Yep.
Yes.
That is good news.
Yep.
He had throat cancer.
Yep.
Yeah, seems like it went pretty well. He said, underwent 51 radiation treatments and 9 chemotherapy treatments after his diagnosis.
Yeah.
Unfortunately, he is still crazy.
He is still 100% off the freaking band.
He also called out the ear, nose, and throat doctor for being a complete bag of dicks.
Yeah.
Dude just looked in there and said, yep, yeah, that's the big C. Just dropped it on him like that.
Yeah.
Glad he made it. So hopefully, at least one more Megadeth album would be nice.
Yeah,
it seems like they stopped working on the one they were working on when he got the diagnosis. So it seems like they'll probably
pick it up again,
go back and finish it.
Yeah, and you'll know which songs it are because it's probably going to be the other half of the album. They're all going to be songs about how he kicked cancer in the nuts. And there's going to be videos for them, and it's going to be like that video, that video for Sweating Bullets.
I am completely okay with this.
Yes.
By the way, if you've never seen Megadeth's video for Sweating Bullets, you should. It's a treat.
Mm-hmm.
Also, that whole song is just hilarious. anyway. So, you remember how last week we talked about how Planters was going to scrap the whole idea about killing Mr. Peanut and then having, like, a grand funeral for him?
Uh-huh.
Yeah, they went ahead and did it anyway.
They did. And did the worst thing possible.
Yeah.
Yeah.
They resurrected him.
I called it.
Yeah, we all knew it was going to happen.
But they're actually using Baby Nut.
Oh, that's just... No, just no.
Which is something you cannot type into Google, or else you'll end up on a list.
Yeah. Yeah.
But yeah,
the bad kind of list.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
God damn it, Planters.
Yeah, they,
said, hey, they had freaking, works out pretty well.
Yeah, they had the freaking Kool-Aid Man and Mr. Clean show up to his funeral.
And Wesley Snipes.
Yeah, for some reason.
Yeah, Wesley Snipes was there.
He's got taxes to pay.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
That was a thing that happened. Also, there was a Super Bowl.
Yeah. Which was not bad. You know, the 49ers got absolutely massacred, but...
Mm. Yeah, the only bad part is when the Chiefs won, fans started doing the tomahawk chop. She's like, white people, calm down.
Yeah.
Brandon knows Kansas all about City. That chant being around.
Yeah, I do, because it's basically been the MO of the Atlanta Braves for like 30 years.
Yeah,
which when they got to the playoffs this year, I think people at MLB had to be like, no, you need to tell your fans to stop this.
Hmm.
Yeah.
We can't have this on national TV anymore.
No.
Anyway.
Just one of those fun things. If you ever watch Major League Baseball or Major League now, you'll notice right away the awkwardness of white people wearing like Native American dress.
Yeah.
You're like, you guys, this is not age well.
Yeah. Actually, I got a funny story, baseball related. Any of you guys who are sports fans, you guys ever heard of a guy named Kevin Brown? He was the pitcher. Yeah, he was pitcher for the Florida Marlins.
Yeah.
Way back in the late 90s, he was once one of the highest paid people in the MLB.
Yeah.
Yeah, see, I know him. Hmm. He's a family friend. He actually lives not very far from where I live. Okay. And the one year that he played the Marlins played the Braves in the World Series, somebody snuck onto his driveway and, like, branded a tomahawk into his driveway.
Hmm. That went well.
Yeah. Because you guys don't know, the Marlins won that year. Hmm. So, yeah. Okay, so, now for the rest of the entertainment portion of the show. Netflix finally got a friggin' clue and is now allowing people to turn off autoplay for trailers.
Thank God.
Yes, thank you.
I've been ear violated by too many of them.
Mm. Yeah.
Coming up at a loud volume when, you know, it's just that much louder than whatever I was watching previously.
Right? And we, like, specifically don't pay for cable because we don't want that crap.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, yeah, they have two autoplays that they allow you to disable. Mm-hmm. One automatically starts the next episode in the series. Mm-hmm. One that autoplays previews while browsing.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I would leave the first one on and turn the second one off.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. The weird thing, having Hulu now, they don't do that thing where after you watch like four episodes, they're like, hey, you still alive?
No, they don't care.
They're just like, hey, thank you for watching us. Yeah. Here's 20 episodes of King of the Hill in a row.
Yeah.
Enjoy.
We promise we're not going to call 911.
Yeah.
Yeah, they occasionally let you pick what ad do you want to watch. Like, oh, you want to watch a 90-second ad now? Do you want bother you again? Like, sure. I'll look at the computer for a minute here, not pay attention to anything.
So, all right. Next up, they're doing a reboot of the Saw franchise. And we got a trailer for the first one. It's called Spiral.
Yeah, executive produced by Chris Rock. He's also one of the stars, along with
That's not a joke, really.
Along with Samuel L. Jackson in it,
mm-hmm.
Who is cursing up a storm in this trailer. Just in case you're wondering,
as he does.
Yeah. Sam Jackson's in this. But yeah, it's Spiral. I think Spiral from the Book of Saw, something like that.
Mm-hmm.
It's like the full title that they show.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, it looks like it's kind of retelling the story of the first movie. Because you see Chris Rock at the end is handcuffed to a wall with a bone saw.
Hmm.
Presented as an option. He's like looking at it like, what the hell am I going to do with this?
Hmm. Yeah.
Yeah, these movies have always been like insane.
Yeah.
Yeah. Also, they put that Spiral logo all over the place that looks like the Dreamcast logo. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
So they're like, oh, Sega's back.
Mm.
And they mean serious shit right now.
Yeah. Buy our system or we'll kill you.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Buy the Dreamcast 2 or we'll kill you.
Mm.
We'll show you why Sega rocks.
Mm-hmm.
Sega does what Nintendo don't.
Mm-hmm.
Actually, that would be an amazing marketing campaign.
Yeah. Next up, we got a trailer, a teaser for Black Widow.
Yeah, which looks pretty good.
Yeah, it's definitely a Marvel movie. But yeah, I want to see this movie.
Mm-hmm.
It's May, right?
Mm-hmm.
Still yeah.
Hasn't been moved.
Yep. Nothing really to add to that. So, we also got, we also got a teaser of the Disney Plus Marvel shows that'll, be showing up. And we also got some release months for upcoming Disney Plus shows as well.
Yeah. So they show, The Falcon and Winter Soldier.
Mm-hmm.
It's like a 30-second spot. They show these three shows in, so it's not too much from any of them. This will show WandaVision and Loki.
Mm.
Yeah.
Which WandaVision definitely looks interesting because it looks like there has to be some sort of like Matrix thing going on to this or Groundhog Day kind of thing where like reliving these like sitcom scenarios over and over again, but from different eras. It's like black and white kind of Leave it to Beaver thing, like a 70s looking Brady Bunch kind of thing. That looks interesting. But yeah, they gave some dates for some of their stuff that's coming up. Let's see, The Falcon and the Winter Soldier is in August. The Mandalorian Season 2 is October. And WandaVision, which was originally scheduled for next year, is going to be out December.
Mm-hmm.
So yeah.
Yeah, Disney Plus is turning out to be one of those streaming services that is kind of going to stay in my rotation. I didn't expect that it would.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But yeah, since getting this Disney Plus Hulu bundle, I've been watching more Hulu. Especially because it's got King of the Hill on it. I was going to watch Dragon Ball GT on here, but it's the Japanese dub.
Yeah.
So kind of weird. Just requires me to pay more attention to it than I want to. Which is the wrong move for GT is to have to pay total attention to it.
Yeah.
Versus just pulling up the dub version elsewhere and be able to at least listen to it. But yeah, that's some interesting stuff coming out later this year.
Yep.
Be curious to see what they've got else in the works.
Yeah. And finally, last story for the night. And it's just the bestest of news. The last final performance of Hamilton that was done with the original cast, that was, I think, a couple years ago.
Mm-hmm.
2016?
Yeah. Yep, 2016. They actually filmed the final performance, and it's going to be coming up via Disney in 2021.
Yeah, to theaters.
Two theaters.
Yeah, so $75 million dollars they paid for this. The prices, which is a hell of a lot of money.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, they could make a movie for that amount of money.
Yeah.
Yeah, and I've seen people suggesting, like, Disney wants to get on the Lin-Manuel Miranda universe of content, because he's worked on Moana and some other stuff for Disney.
He did the Return of Mary Poppins. He was on there.
Yeah. Yeah,
he's working on the he's working on the
Kingkiller Chronicles.
Yeah, he's working on the TV versions of the Kingkiller Chronicles. yeah, he's got a lot of irons in the fire right now.
Yeah, and yeah, this is something that people have been wanting for a long time because, you know, paying $300-$400 for a ticket to Hamilton is not in many people's range versus, you know, $5 to $10 movie ticket.
Yeah.
As well as, you know, $20 for the Blu-ray when it comes out.
Mm-hmm. I'm just wondering not what's taking so long, because I imagine they probably have it edited by now.
Yeah, but I don't know.
I have to wait an Disney. Entire year.
Yeah, oh, it comes out October 15th, 2021, so year and a half.
Year and a half, like pre-announcing shit.
20 months. with something that was filmed 4 years ago.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
Let's see.
It's also part of the reason they might have is because there's a movie version of In the Heights that's coming out this year.
Yeah.
And which was the thing that Lin-Manuel Miranda did before Hamilton. Okay. And it's possible they don't want it competing. Mm. So
makes sense.
Though this is Hamilton.
Yeah.
It's like the biggest Broadway thing that's happened in the last like 5 years. Mm. It should trounce anything else, even if it's an old cut of the original production.
Yeah. But anyway. But yeah.
Maybe they got enough of their own shit in the way.
Because
they own too much of Hollywood. Yeah. And they don't want to have it competing with their other stuff and drowning it out.
All right. All right then, folks. I do believe we got ourselves a show.
Yeah, we'll wrap it up here tonight.
Yeah. So I would like everybody who's listening that if they got a question or a comment or something they just want us to read on the air, you can get in contact with us at letsweekenders@gmail.com. That's letsweekenders@gmail.com. We got links for you in the show notes. Also, we're actually going to not read any spam this week because I don't have any good spam for this week. But rest assured, when we do get some, I will more than happily read it on the air. also, on top of Apple Podcasts, you can catch our little bit of unscripted shenanigans at Google Play, RSS, archive.org, pretty much any kind of podcast aggregator that you can think of. There's a good 6-to-1 chance that we're on there already. And if we're not, just wait a few minutes. We'll be on there soon. So with that, all of our listeners, I want to thank you for listening. And for Filippo D'Onofrio, Patrick Mifflin, Chris Elogian, and Teresa Sammons, I have been your host with the most, Brandon Perkins. Good night. Still got 9 more months of this shit. Be prepared.